You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras, the number one podcast for bow hunting product information and hunting stories from across the nation. And now, here's your nine-fingered host, Dan Johnson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras. And before we get started on this, I just want to remind everybody that Exodus is offering a 30% discount to all the Nine Finger Chronicles listeners. And you, all you have to do is enter the discount code 9FC30, and you're going to receive 30% off of your normal purchase price of a Trek trail camera. And I believe that brings it down to like $101 for an Exodus trail camera. Dude, that's an amazing deal. They don't do that for everybody. I had to lean on them. I'm like, come on, give me something big. Give me a big discount. Give me something that's going to make the guys jump on it. And this is something that you guys should probably take advantage of. I'm not sure if I'm going to get a discount like that again on top of the other discount that we usually get for the Exodus trail cameras. But when we talk about trail cameras, the next transition for me is to talk about Deer Lab. And man, if you guys are like nuts about trail camera pictures and how to house them and how to organize them, then you need to pick up a little program out there called Deer Lab, deerlab.com. And what Deer Lab does is, I'm a huge fan of it. It takes your trail camera picture, right? You upload one, you know, as many trail camera pictures of the bucks you're chasing into this program that Deer Lab offers. And what it does is it pulls in all this great information, like weather, wind direction, barometric pressure, wind speed, you know, date, all that stuff. And all, what it does is all that information is kind of calculated, and what it allows you to do is you start uploading specific pictures of specific bucks. Let's say you're on the hunt for one particular buck, and what Deer Lab does is all that information that it pulls in, you start labeling these pictures, and you're going to be able to hopefully forecast that particular buck's movements. You're going to see what wind direction he likes to travel in, what temperature or barometric pressure he likes to travel in, moon phase he likes to travel in, and hopefully, you know, you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together, which Deer Lab helps you do, and next thing you know, you're like, oh my God, it's a northwest wind, and I need to be hunting in this particular stand because Deer Lab is showing me that he favors this area on northwest wind. So go check out deerlab.com/9fingers. And if you go to that URL and sign up, you're going to get a free 30-day trial period. You can't beat that. So now, if it sounds a little funny tonight, I am in my backyard recording this intro because my office has now been turned back. It was a nursery. Then it got turned into an office, and sure as shit, it's back to a nursery. I have too many damn kids, and so I have a baby sleeping in there, so I can only edit. I can't do any voiceovers. So tonight's voiceover, I'm standing next to my garden. I am admiring the beans and the corn that are growing. I got two tomato plants that are up. I got two pepper plants that are up, and I think I even got some carrots that are starting to grow. But I'm a huge fan of gardening. Anyway, today's podcast, we're going to be talking with a gentleman named Zach Hunt. And Zach is an a freak when it comes to whitetails, just like all of us. And today's podcast, we're going to basically talk about his journey as a whitetail hunter, as a outdoor lover, as someone who is very passionate, just like we all are, not only about the outdoors, but specifically whitetail deer. And, you know, we live that lifestyle 365. So that's what today's podcast is about. And without further ado, here's the podcast. All right, everybody. Welcome back. On today's show, I am joined by Mr. Zach Hunt out of Indiana. How you doing today, Zach?
I'm doing pretty good, Dan. How you doing?
Can't complain, man. So the first question I want to ask you is it as hot in Indiana today as it is in Iowa?
I think it is. It's pretty dang hot in here. It's about 100 degrees today with the heat index.
Right, yeah, that's what the news said today. The heat index was somewhere around between 100 and 105. And I don't know, when I experience really extreme weather like this, where, you know, you got a heat index of 105 or wind chills of like negative 40 during the winter, I often think about whitetails, right? And what are they doing? I mean, do you ever think about things like that?
Well, I'm thinking about whitetails all the time. All the time.
Yeah. So you've been bitten, huh?
Oh, yeah. I was out in this stuff about 10 o'clock this morning, out putting up trail cameras out on a new property. I got permission to hunt.
Ooh, I like the sounds of that. Now, whereabouts in Indiana do you live, and what do you do for a living?
Well, I just moved to Charlestown, Indiana. It's not too far from Louisville, Kentucky, okay. Right over the river. And I work in a injection molding business in a factory, and I'm a lead operator.
Okay.
I give grown men potty breaks. That's what I do. And also, we just keep the floor going, trying to keep getting plastic parts out.
Gotcha.
One of our main suppliers is with Ford Motor Company.
Ford Motor Company, okay. So give me an idea of what kind of plastic parts you make.
We make the interior, for the, Ford Expedition and, Lincoln Navigator.
So like, consoles and dashboards and things like that.
I don't think we do the dashboards, but we do whenever you lift up the lift gate from on the SUV on the back of it.
Yeah.
We make that, that whole assembly right there.
Okay.
We make probably about, I'd say at least 60%, if not more, of the interior of that vehicle, besides the dash and all that stuff.
Well, that's pretty cool. It's
medical parts we make as well, like the shells of like oxygen machines as well.
Gotcha. Okay. That's pretty cool knowing that kind of work is still being done stateside. You know what I mean?
There's companies like this all over Indiana and Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. But we're not here to talk about plastic parts today, are we?
No, definitely not. Plastic parts just make it to where I can go deer hunting.
So it pays the bills, right?
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Okay, so today, you reached out to me, like a lot of guys do, through Facebook, and, hey, man, if you got time, let's do a podcast. And for the most part, I say yes to everybody. You sent me some pictures and a little story about the quote-unquote journey. That's what we talked a little bit about, you know, this whitetail journey that we all are kind of living, especially the hardcore guys like myself. And I don't mean, like, hardcore because we're trying to be badasses, but hardcore in the sense that it's something we think about every day. We love hunting. It's a passion of ours. It's in our blood, type of thing. And that's where I think I want to talk about this quote unquote journey that you've taken from when you started all the way to where you are today. Cool?
That's fine.
All right. So first question I have for you is, what is your earliest outdoor or hunting memory? Do you have one that you can think of?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was, you know, small game. you know, you usually don't jump right into deer hunting.
Yeah.
My dad used to take me squirrel hunting whenever I was little, you know, probably 6-7 years old. We used to have a contest with my uncle and my brother. My brother would go with my uncle, and we'd see if we'd kill the most squirrels when we go out there. And it was just a really good time getting out there and walking around the woods.
So was that something that you did a lot, or, you know, just a couple times a year? And how old were you?
I was probably 6 or 7 years old. I was pretty young whenever my dad was taking me out squirrel hunting. I mean, we didn't do it all the time. I'd say we probably done it 4 or 5 times a year or so.
Got ya. So then, so that was squirrel hunting is where it kind of all started. That was the foundation for basically the rest of your life. Did your dad or uncle ever take you fishing?
Oh yeah, we went fishing too. We usually went night fishing. My dad liked going night fishing, cat fishing and all that.
Yeah.
He took me quite a bit doing that during the summer as well.
Did you guys, so catfish with a pole, or did you run bank poles out of the river?
We was with the pole on the bank.
Okay, gotcha. That's one thing that I wish I could do more of. I had a buddy who took me out. He would go out, he would set bank poles, and then he'd run them. I think he would wait 2 days and then go check again. And I don't know if you've ever ran bank poles, and he would run them right at the end of the day or before the sun would go down. And I had so much fun running bank poles with him, pulling out catfish or, you know, rebaiting the lines and throwing them back in. And that's something that I wish I had more time to do, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever get any turtles?
Oh, yeah. We got a couple snappers and just basically cut the hook off of those. He didn't keep those. He just cut the hook off and throw them back in. So
yeah, that's a good time.
Yeah. So now, as you got a little older, what was the transition? How did you kind of transition from just, you know, going out hunting small game to getting into the, you know, getting in with the big boys, so to speak, and start chasing whitetails?
Well, a lot of my family hunt between my mom's side of the family and my dad's side of the family, so they just kind of took turns taking me out whenever I was probably. I was probably 10 or so when they started just taking me out deer hunting with them. Just, you know, getting the feel of seeing deer and all that. They'd get me, take me up in the tree stand with them. Right. And I didn't have a weapon or nothing, but I was just getting the experience of getting out there and seeing deer and finding my patience.
Right. So is that something that the family just automatically included you in? Like, you didn't have a choice, you just were there and you went with them? Or was this something that, when you were younger, you were asking, hey, dad or uncle, can I go, will you take me deer hunting? Will you take me deer hunting? Or was it just like they assumed you, everybody was going?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I used to cry whenever I was little if my dad wouldn't take me hunting with him.
That's funny.
And that's no joke at all.
That's funny, man.
I was just interested in it from the get-go. Right. I just love being outside.
Right. I can remember running trap lines. My uncles would run trap lines, and when I was little, I can remember wanting to go with them. And you know, if it was bad or the water was a little high, they'd say, no, you can't go. And I'd throw a temper tantrum, and my grandma would have to be like, okay, you just stay here and then you can go with me later in the week. Cause my grandma, I think I've told this story 1,000 times, but my grandma would run the trap lines while my uncles were in college. So one of my uncles was in college. So, we did that. So that was, and if I couldn't go, I'd throw a fit. But so obviously they knew this was something that interested you, right?
Oh, very, very much.
Right. What, and if you can remember, how old are you now?
I'm 26 years old.
Okay, you're 26. So, you know, this is, let's say, 15 to 20 years ago, if you can remember. What was it about deer hunting that interested you? I mean, was it going out into the woods and nature, you know, hanging with the dad, your dad and your uncle, thinking that was cool, or was it something else?
Well, I mean, that's right. More or less, it was just being outside. You know, I really wasn't interested in the deer hunting as much whenever I was young. I just wanted to be out with the old man and my uncle.
Right. So then you know, they were including you in, you know, they would bring you along. And was it something where you were just sitting in the tree stand at first, or were you actively participating? Because I've had guys on the podcast say, you know, hey, I shot my first deer at, you know, 7 years old or whatever. And that's only 2 years away from where my daughter's at now. So that has me thinking, you know, I need to get a move on if I'm going to start, you know, introducing her to guns and stuff. But, and how did that kind of all take place from the time that it was, okay, now you're just a spectator to now you're, you know, you're in the game, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I was probably about 10 years old whenever my dad started actually taking me deer hunting and climbing up in the tree with him.
Okay.
And like, I didn't have no weapon or nothing like that. It's probably about 12 whenever he finally actually got me out there with a weapon. You know, he started teaching me how to use a shotgun.
Yep.
Pretty young.
Yep.
But I didn't actually get to get out and hunt with it.
Right.
Till I was about 12.
Gotcha. So then once that, you know, kids sometimes their priorities are a little bit different, right? I mean, they want to play with their friends or they want to go to sleepovers or whatever. What has, since you can remember, has hunting been like the thing that you've always wanted to do?
I've always hunted. You know, whenever I was younger, you know, whenever I started actually going out with my dad and actually taking a firearm with me, I was mainly a gun hunter. You know, he never really introduced me to bows or anything like that.
Right.
At a young age. So, you know, I was hanging out with my friends, you know, and then we was pretty much weekend warriors, you know, going out whenever he was off work.
Yeah.
And, going out gun hunting.
Gotcha. So then, when you started hunting with your dad, can you remember a time where, you know, you're sitting out there with him and you just thought, you know what, I can't wait to do this. You know, I can't wait to do this by myself, or I can't wait to actually hunt with him, or, you know, some of those very first times hunting are the most impressionable, because it's like, if you don't do it right, you may lose the kid and they may not want to go again. So I guess walk me through the first couple of times, not necessarily hunting, but the times just sitting in the stand with your dad.
Well, I remember the very first time I ever went out in the tree stand with him. Now, we didn't have our safety harnesses on, and we were climbing up in a climbing tree stand with me on the bottom platform. And I can remember that so well. You know, he would have me grab a hold of the top. It was an old man tree stand, climbing tree stand. And he would have me hold on to the top rail, and then he would say, lift your legs, and he would lift up, and then we would go up. And I remember that like it was yesterday.
Oh, that's awesome. So he would have you on the bottom platform, and you would kind of pull yourself up when he pulled the platform up, and then you'd stand back down, and he'd bring the seat part up, and then you'd grab onto it again?
Yep, that's right.
Oh, my God. That must have been hard work for him.
Oh, I guarantee it.
That's crazy. I love it, though. He'd get you up in the tree in a climbing tree stand, and, I mean, can you remember those first couple sits? I mean, did you actually see deer? Were you quiet? Did you understand, or was he there to, like, kind of walk you through all that?
He was there to walk me through it. I don't know if it was the very first time that we went up. You know, we'd done this a handful of times whenever I was younger. But I do remember one hunt. We had four does come walk underneath me, and he was like, you got to be quiet. And I was just sitting there, you know, just watching them, and they just walked on by.
Yeah.
And he didn't take one or nothing.
So was that something that kind of stuck out and was like, oh, my God? Was that the first time you were that close to a deer?
Yeah, it was.
So was that something that you were, I mean, instantly hooked on from that moment on, or, I mean?
Oh, yeah, it had my heart pounding.
What did your dad say?
Whenever they walked away, he said, did you see him? I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
I was just shaking.
So then, you know,
obviously, you know, you got to start a kid out going into the woods and not necessarily hunting, but, you know, as just kind of a ride along, so to speak. When,
yeah,
what kind of hunter safety or hunter ethics or, you know, hunting education did your dad give you from the time you started going to the time you started hunting?
Well, I remember he bought me this single shot 20 gauge whenever I was about 10. Him and my mom did. And we went out and he, you know, said that whenever you're carrying a gun, always aim it at the ground.
Yep.
Always treat a gun like it's loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And he, my dad, he's always been a meat hunter. He's not big on horns.
Yeah.
He just likes putting deer down and filling our freezer up.
Yep. Absolutely. So he was, you know, he was kind of in it, you know, for the meat. Was he kind of a brown it's down type hunter, or did he only hunt for does?
If it's brown, it's down for the most part. I mean, yeah. He's his very first buck he ever killed. My dad didn't really start hunting again until he was 23 years old. And he shot his very first deer was an 8-pointer, and it's still his biggest deer to this day.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And it's probably only a 90-inch 8-pointer.
Yeah. Yeah. So he got you in the tree. He started teaching you, you know, some ethics, you know, some responsibility from the gun side of thing or the weapon side of things. What else did he teach you?
Well, he just, you know, he also showed me a tree stand safety besides the, you know, climbing up with me on the bottom platform. And once I started climbing by myself, you know,
yeah,
you know, taught me safety all along that and everything like that.
Gotcha.
That's really about it, you know, gun safety, all that good stuff.
Right, right. I mean, obviously he taught you where to shoot a deer. I mean, you're not going to try to blow its foot off or, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So where to aim. Were you ever there when he killed a deer and, you know, he had to clean it right in front of you, take the guts out and whatnot?
Yeah. So, I was a little bit older. I was a little bit older than whenever he done that. I was probably about 14. Because I started to get a little bit discouraged, you know, because I started hunting when I was about 12 on my own. He would go sit me in a spot, and I didn't kill one until I was about 14, and I started getting discouraged, and a couple of weeks before I shot one, he actually shot one, you know, to give me a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, yeah. So he shot one, and basically just to show you that, hey, it can be done. You just got to give it some patience.
Yeah.
Was that?
Oh yeah.
Now the word I just used there, patience. You know, when you got discouraged, what was his message to you other than just shooting a deer? What did he say to you about, you know, not being able to go out and kill a deer every single hunt?
Well, he just said, you know, he said it's not going to happen every time. He said you got to sit down, got to wait for him, got to be quiet and be still.
Yeah.
He said, it doesn't matter the best camouflage, the most expensive camouflage you have, being still is the number one priority whenever you're trying to kill a deer.
Yep.
Just be still and they will not see you.
Yep. That's good advice. Now, when you were standing over top of that deer and you started to clean it, you know, some kids, once they start seeing that kind of thing, it may get them, I don't know, queasy or change their mind a little bit, taking the guts out of a deer. You know what I mean? What was your reaction to the first time you saw, you know, a gut job?
I was up in there.
Yeah. All in it.
I was paying attention.
Holding legs and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So, you know, so it sounds like you were 14 years old when you shot your first deer. Why don't you,
yep.
You know, that's been like 12 years, 14 years ago or 12 years ago, 12 years ago. Why don't you, can you remember that day? Walk us through that hunt.
Oh yeah. Well, like I said, I was getting discouraged. My dad, we was always hunting this property as my aunt's property. And, he said, I know where these does are bedding at. He said, He walked me over to this tree. He said, you sit right here. He said, I'm going to walk around here and I'm going to run one to you. So he walked around. It's probably about 30, 45 minutes. and I see this doe running through, and I pull up my Remington 870, and I just blast her, and I spined her.
Yeah.
And she dropped, and then I went up there and put another one in her and finished the job.
Yeah. So when that happened, you were sitting from the ground, I take it?
Yep.
Okay. So when you harvested that first doe, what was the feelings or emotions running through your body after you started getting discouraged? Your dad put together a little bit of a plan, pushed up a deer, you shot it, success, right? What happened?
Yep.
I mean, what were you thinking? What were the emotions?
Oh, I was astounded. I was shaking. I mean, I was so excited.
Right. Right. And these are the kind of stories that I wish people who did not hunt would listen to, because, you know, it's not about a trophy, you know, trophy hunting. It's about a kid who got all types of worked up when he shot his, you know, very first ever deer. And he was an absolute happiness. Right. And, you know, and it was hunting that did that, not sports or video games. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Ain't no way a video game can make me get that excited.
Right. Absolutely. So as you walked up on this deer, you were all worked up. What were some other things that you were thinking?
Oh, I was ready to eat the thing, man. I mean, my dad just grew up, you know, feeding us deer meat and everything.
Right.
And I was actually ready to field dress the deer on my own, watching my dad do it a couple of times on deer he's harvested.
Right, right. So you were proud at that point that you were participating in bringing meat to the family.
Yeah.
Right. Now, what did your mom say when you told her you shot a deer?
She's really never really, I mean, she cooks it for us, you know, but right. That's about it.
Yeah.
She really, you know, she was happy for me.
Yeah. So just kind of an activity that you and your dad kind of did together.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. My dad tried to get my other two brothers into it, and they just didn't take. They were, you know, computer game players and playing on video games and all that, you know.
Yeah. Right. So you have two other brothers then, right?
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
Okay, so you're the youngest, and your older brothers never got into it, huh?
My oldest brother tried to. I mean, he still shoots. He shoots a trad bow, you know, just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's all he really does with it. He's really not patient enough to get out there and deer hunt. I've been trying to get him to come out.
Yeah. So you think you're going to be able to persuade him to take part in a deer season then?
Yeah, I think I am. I'm going to keep trying.
Gotcha. So then you and your dad, it sounds like it's something that you guys really share special. Do you guys, even today, is it something that you do together still, or have you kind of moved on to hunt by yourself?
Well, probably about 2009, my dad stopped hunting with me as much. He was got real busy and just really kind of gave it up, really.
Yeah.
And I've just really been hunting with my friends and on my own for the most part since about 2009.
Gotcha. So obviously you started with a gun. When did you start making that switch to archery equipment?
I've probably only been bow hunting for about 7 years now.
Okay. 7 years. And so how old were you when you switched? Or did not necessarily switched, but picked up the...
Oh, I was about 15, actually it's been about 15, 16 years old, or okay. Whenever I bought my first bow.
Okay. So you shot your first deer when you were 14, and then 2 years later you started, you know, you picked up a bow and tried to do bow hunting. What was it that made you want to try archery? Because knowing that it was probably going to be a little harder to do.
Well, my dad, he bow hunted a little bit, and he got him a new bow and gave me his old ancient thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to work up to pull that thing back.
Right. Do you remember, do you remember what brand it was?
It was a Martin. I'm not sure the name of it, but it was a Martin.
Yeah.
And it was one of them bows. You're pulling 60 pounds and you're holding 60 pounds.
So was it something that that took you to get used to, or did you have to like work on it like day after day to try to get it pulled back?
Oh, I had to work on it. That's for sure.
Yeah. So it wasn't one of those things where, hey, I got a bow and I can just go right to shooting it. It took you some time to get adjusted to it.
Oh yeah. It took quite a while.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, a lot of times when people try bow hunting, they kind of go down two paths from what I hear is the path where they may dabble in it a little bit, where, you know, they may just kind of be a weekend warrior during archery season. If not that, maybe hunt a couple days out of the rut, but nothing serious, but are still taking part in gun season. And then there's the kind of bow hunters that go head first into it, and gun hunting, yeah, some they may still do it, but it becomes secondary for them. You know, they're a bow hunter first, a gun hunter second. Where do you lie in that whole calculation, I guess?
I'm definitely on the now. I'm definitely the second one. I mean, I probably only take my gun out two or three times a year now, and that's mainly just to get out there and shoot me a doe or two.
Right.
I mean, if a good buck comes by and I haven't got one yet, then if I get a good deer in front of me, I'll take him.
Right. What's the tag scenario in Indiana? I mean, is it a one buck state, or can you get multiple deer?
It's a one buck state, but you can put in for draw hunts, and they provide another buck tag.
Okay. Like in a state park, or like a piece of public ground, or like a suburban.
They're mostly state parks.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
They do have urban tags up near Indianapolis, where you can urban hunt, and that starts around beginning of September, which I wish they would start Indiana's archery season earlier, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
Right. So you kind of started to fall in love with bow hunting. Was that over a period of time, or did that was it like kind of a one day? Maybe you were successful, or you just had the perfect conditions and saw a lot of deer during like an archery hunt that kind of flipped you from being, you know, a practicing bow hunter to what, you know, we would consider a hardcore bow hunter.
Well, it was mainly just hanging out with my friends, and they were bow hunters whenever I met them. And, you know, I got me a bow, a newer bow. And then I started going out with them, and then I started going out to my hunting property, my main hunting properties I have, and it's just a lot better having a lot longer season.
Right, right. More hunting, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just love being out there, sitting up there, you know?
Right.
It's great. I love it.
So how old were you when you were able to harvest your first deer with a bow?
First deer with a bow, I was 16 whenever 16? I very first started bow hunting. Yep.
Oh, nice. So that the first year you started bow hunting was the first year you were able to be successful.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So what was something that you learned with that first doe kill? Was it something that you had to bounce around a lot? Was it from the ground? Was it from a climber, from a ladder stand? Walk us through that first season, you know, at a high level, and talk to us about, you know, what led to that success and what you learned from that.
The very first doe I ever took with my bow, I was in a climbing tree stand. I had some does come in behind me, and they worked their way down to my tree. And no joke, I had two does underneath my tree at about 5 yards. And I drew back, and I tried to shoot one of them. And I said, tried. I missed it at 5 yards.
Yeah.
It was a straight down shot.
I've been there.
And, yep. And in my opinion, that's probably one of the harder shots because you don't have much to aim at.
Right.
But, so whenever I shot, those two does took off. And not even 5 minutes later, I had another doe come from the same way those other deer came from. And that doe came in and done the exact same thing. Wow. And I drew back. She was at about 4 or 5 yards. Well, whenever I drew back, I guess she she just kind of felt kind of eerie. And whenever I released, you know how whenever they try to take off, they drop their front, legs.
Right, right.
Put their butt up in the air. Well, whenever I released the arrow, she was all, like, in process of doing that, and I hit her right in the artery in her hind quarter.
Okay. Okay.
And she ran 20 yards and was done.
So she bled out fast then.
Oh, there. I mean, that's probably the best blood trail I've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were able to get out there, get it done. How many days before that day had you hunted before you were, you know, before you were successful?
This was towards the end of October.
Okay. And when did, so how many times do you think you hunted?
I'd say probably about 6 or 7 times.
6 or 7 times. Okay. So
yeah.
Being successful with a bow, and you were out by yourself, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So was there any difference between the very first doe you shot and you used a gun to the very first doe you shot with a bow? Did you have any different feelings, or because some people kind of say, God, I shot my deer with a gun. It was awesome. But when I shot my deer with a bow, man, that was just a more intense moment. Did you kind of have those same feelings, or was it equal?
Oh, it was way better shooting a deer with a gun. I mean, that's why I bow hunt today more than I do with a gun.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
Right. Right. And, was that kind of a trigger to when you said, you know what, I'm going to bow hunt every single year I can?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So after that, you know, after that, that deer, that first bow kill, did you go out and continue to hunt for bucks, or were you just happy with shooting, you know, the first deer that walked by your tree stand?
I hunt every chance I can get.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No matter if I'm tagged out with a buck, or, I mean, I can kill eight does in the county I hunt in.
Yeah.
And then I can go over to the next county and kill another 8 does. So
how many deer do you think you kill a year on average?
Oh, probably the last 4 years, I probably killed about 4 or 5.
4 or 5 deer? Okay. All right. Last year I killed 2, and the way my family went through ground deer meat this year, I almost want to go out and kill 2 more. one was a button buck that I thought was a doe, and then my buck I shot this year. So we had a lot of meat. Actually, you know, we're recording this on Father's Day, and I cooked a Father's Day meal, which was deer steaks that I had. And by the way, I got lucky tonight because I never, me personally, I always overcook my deer meat. But tonight, man, I marinated it. I got it to room temperature, and then I threw it on the skillet with some olive oil. And man, I nailed it tonight. Like I cooked the best deer steak I've ever cooked tonight, and I was pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to overcook deer steak, and if you do, it's not that good.
Right, absolutely. And then tonight, you know, my wife, she's had my cooking before, and she uses the term gamey, right? And I'm an okay cook,
yeah.
But you know, you got to cook deer meat right, or the person who may not like it. But tonight, she said, "Oh man, that's really good flavor." So if she approved it, then I know I did a good job.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I have a 3-year-old son, and he absolutely loves deer meat.
Yeah.
He loves it.
That's good. That's awesome. Now, he's the same age as my boy. Does he show interest in going hunting with you yet, or is it he's still kind of too
young? Well, I have him a little, you know, a little plastic bow with plastic arrows and stuff like that, and I'll go out back and shoot my bow, and he'll go up and shoot the Glendale I have. He'll go up and shoot it with his bow whenever I'm going to get my arrows.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's 50% right now.
Yeah, yeah. And it's still young. Their attention span is about 15 seconds at that age.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so you got, you know, got to get them on the right day. And then some days they'll probably like it and some days they won't.
Yeah. I think I'm going to take them next year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Out there with me.
Awesome. Just to sit and get acclimated to the timber.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, he goes out and checks my cameras with me every now and then.
Yeah. Right. Right. So now I want to kind of back up just a step and talk about, you know, maybe because as bow hunters, we all kind of go through a progression where, you know, we've shot some does, maybe we've even shot a couple bucks, and now we want to start transitioning to like more mature deer, or some guys go for bigger antlers or whatever. Have you gone through a progression like that in the last, you know, 10 years where you maybe went from just kind of going for the it's brown, it's down to maybe targeting specific bucks? Because at the beginning of this today, you mentioned that, you know, you went out and put up trail cameras today, which tells me you're interested in the caliber of deer that are on the properties that you hunt.
Yeah. I mean, every year for the past probably 6 years, I've been using trail cameras, and I usually get pretty good deer on a trail camera, you know, 130s to probably 150s.
Yeah.
That's the top caliber that I'm getting on camera is 150s.
Okay.
And you know, I'll get them in velvet, but once they shed that velvet, man, I don't get no more pictures of them.
Yeah.
I usually see a couple of good deer every year, you know, 130s to 140s every year.
Okay.
It's just the deer hunt's not like it used to be.
Yeah. So you're saying it's kind of declining?
Yeah.
Why is that, you think?
Well, the area, like I said in the message I sent you, I hunt small partial properties, 10 acres. At my aunt's house, she has 10 acres. Her neighbors have 10 acres. Two of her neighbors have 10 acres. So I have 30 acres to hunt in like a square pretty much. And, I mean, I usually see pretty good deer, but back in 2009, that's whenever I shot my biggest deer.
Yeah.
And since then, I've just seen a jump and pressure around my area.
Yeah. Is that public ground or is that small pieces of private?
It's small pieces of private, but public's not too far away from it.
Gotcha. And public pretty busy?
A little bit. I went and I was going to go and check this public out that's not too far from my aunt's property. I went and squirrel hunted it to get an idea of what, you know, how many people are hunting. And I ended up seeing about 5 or 6 tree stands in there.
Yeah.
And about every time I pass it, there's always somebody there during deer season.
Right. Right. Yeah. That, I mean, in Iowa, everybody thinks, you know, Iowa, man, that's the holy grail for deer hunting. And you're right. It is. But everything you see about Iowa is on private managed property. Now you get to what public land is, and Iowa is somewhere around 2% public land, right? So out of all the property that's in Iowa, only 2% of it you can maybe available to hunt, right? Maybe even less than that. Now with that, you have, I mean, just loads of people going and trying to hunt it, especially people who are coming from out of state to hunt that. So all the public ground in Iowa is going to be worked over. And yes, there may be some bigger caliber deer there, but the pressure that is put on, I would compare it to, you know, not states like Michigan or Pennsylvania, but maybe some other similar states.
Oh yeah.
So
Tampa.
So then as you got, you know, as you start, you know, you started realizing this decline, did your methodology change to where, you know, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to try to kill, you know, the best deer I possibly can?
That's my mindset.
Yeah.
For sure. I just try to get out there and kill me a decent buck every year.
Yeah. And in your opinion, and for the area that you hunt, what's considered a decent buck?
130s.
130. Okay. And when we say 130, that kind of reflects a score, but What typically is a 130 from an age class perspective?
I'd say probably a 3 or 4 year old, I'd say.
Okay.
Now there's definitely bigger ones in there, that's for sure.
Yeah. Just, you know, crossing paths is the difficult part.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you only have, how many acres of private do you hunt? Sounds like you have 30.
I have 30 in a, it's kind of like a, it's just like a square for the most part.
Yeah.
That I can hunt. And 10 of that I can only hunt during bow season. During gun season, I can't hunt 10 of it at all because they hunt.
Gotcha.
So I respect that, you know.
Right.
They're letting me hunt on their property.
Right. Okay. So you got 30 acres to hunt. Now, how do you approach that every year? Because a guy could blow out 30 acres really fast.
Oh, yeah. You can blow out 30 acres really easily.
Yeah. So how do you approach that? I mean, do you go in and hunt every possible time you can, or do you have days where you lay off and try to, you know, wait till the good time of the year, or do you, you know, you watch your trail cameras? How are you approaching those 30 acres?
Well, the past probably four or five years or so, I have my buddies come out. We have a little deer camp out there. We stay out there for, you know, a couple of days, and it's three of us, including me, and we go out there and, you know, we hunt it for a couple of days, beginning of bow season. And since I've started doing that, it seems like I don't see as good a deer.
Yeah.
But also I'm noticing more people on the other properties. Like, cause what I usually do is I'll get in my stand an hour and a half before daylight and let things calm down. And sometimes I will see, the past couple of years, I can see people on the other hillside coming in right before daylight.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that a couple of years ago.
Okay. So there's not only a lot of pressure on the public, but it sounds like there's a lot of pressure on the surrounding private as well.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, you said, you know, we're talking about this decline. Do you think that increase of pressure has directly affected the quality of deer? Like, they're just straight up shooting, you know, everything that walks by?
Maybe not everything that walks by, but they're definitely harvesting some deer, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, 3 years ago, I was hunting opening day of shotgun season. I had my shotgun with me, and I was hunting probably about the middle of my aunt's property or so, and I heard some deer running to me. I mean, they were running really hard, and they were probably about 100 yards away or so. And I hear boom, and I mean, they were coming right to me. And that right there, that's whenever it really started. Whenever I could tell more people were hunting the private properties around me.
Gotcha. So, and that, I mean, trust me when I say this, is I hunt on some decent property, right? I share it with some other hunters. And at the same time, I get a little frustrated when I've noticed other trucks coming on that property or other trucks coming on some of the neighboring property. And I've seen a direct result in that as well, because this is going to sound crazy when I say this, but every year, on trail camera, I used to catch something in the 170s or higher, right? Just some gigantic bucks on trail camera. And the last couple years, I have not had that. So that tells me that this older age class is the herd is not making it to the older age class, whether that has something to do with EHD or, God forbid, CWD, or people are just shooting younger deer, which, you know, I can't complain too much because I shot a young deer this year as well. So it was still
a nice deer though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was nice. It is what it is, but you know, it's one of those things where if I could go back in time, I probably would have not shot that deer just because of age class alone. I mean, I don't like to make my decisions based off antlers, but you know, whatever. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Last year, my buddy, I have a friend. He left me on his property. His grandpa owns it, and it's about 300 acres. And I was out there putting my cameras out there, and I got a heck of a deer on trail camera last year out there.
Yeah.
And it's butted up to probably about, I'd say about 7,000 acres of forestry.
Oh, boy.
Private land. I mean, not private land, but a public land.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, this is probably, I'd say he's 170, 180-inch temp winner.
Oh, boy. So,
but it's one of those things where I can only hunt with him.
Ah, okay.
So I really didn't get to hunt much.
Right. So you can only hunt while he's there.
Yeah.
However, do you have access to where that farm butts up to the private?
Or that, I do.
Or the public?
I do have access to the public land, but to get close to where he's at, to where I got pictures of that deer, which it was probably early September whenever I got the picture.
Okay.
So he was still in velvet.
Yep.
And I actually this past year went and hunted that public land, and I walked all the way. It's about 6 mile walk.
Holy
from where
cow.
I have access that. 6 miles one way.
6 miles.
And I got up early one
way.
6 miles one way. And I got up early one morning and I walked all the way to around the area.
Man,
that
takes some determination, my friend. 6 miles?
And this, yeah, 6 miles.
Wow.
And it's some really good, it's some good areas,
yeah.
Definitely. And I went and hunted. I didn't go all the way back there and hunt this year, but I did. I walked about 4 miles back.
Yeah.
One morning, got up about 3 o'clock, walked back there. I seen a couple deer, but I didn't see any bucks or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's got to be a pretty big buck for me to shoot that far back.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what it would take for me to walk 6 miles for a deer. It'd have to be a decent one or one that I knew I couldn't connect with somewhere else on a different piece of property. But, man, that's a haul. With a climber on your back?
Climber on my back, backpack strapped to it. Yep.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy, man. So now as the years have, you know, like this upcoming season, what would you say your goal is as far as what you're going to be chasing and what your goal is for this upcoming archery season or deer or hunting season in general?
Well, you know, like I said, I like to fill my freezer up. So I will probably go out and try to kill me a couple does right off the bat.
Yep.
Get me some more meat because I'm almost out already.
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, I try to shoot me a pretty decent deer every year.
Right. Okay. I mean, do you ever have any inkling to, you know, go to another state and try it? I mean, Indiana borders Ohio. Ohio has some decent public land. Do you ever feel like you want to cross the border or go to Ohio or Kentucky?
You know, I have some people at work that have some land over in Kentucky. I've been trying to itch their back a little bit and try to let me come out there and hunt, you know, cause
right.
But, not right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I have plenty of land over here to hunt. Like I was telling you, at the beginning of this podcast, I was out there putting trail cameras out on a new property. I have permission to hunt this year.
Oh, nice.
It's 24 acres, solid woods, surrounded by nothing but bean fields.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's, and nobody's hunted it in 3 years.
Wow. So I bet if I had to guess, you're pretty excited to go check those trail cameras in a couple weeks.
I think I'm going to give them a month or two before I go out there.
That's probably the smart.
Cause I got permission to hunt this property in February.
Yeah.
And I went out there and checked it out, you know, there wasn't, you know, no vegetation at all anywhere. So it looked like it was going to be open property, but I tell you what, it's thick in there. And both times I've been to the property, I went out there and put the cameras out mid-February, and I went and checked them last week. And got a couple of small bucks on there, some shed bucks and a bunch of does.
Yeah.
But it's thick in there, and I jumped deer up whenever I went in there today, so I'm not sure if it's going to be an evening spot or a morning spot.
Gotcha, gotcha. Only time will tell on a scenario like that, sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. So you know, we're getting close to the end here, and I want to, you know, your dad kind of guided you down the path to becoming a hunter, and you have a three-year-old son. Do you have any other kids?
No, that's all I have. Okay. One,
you have a three-year-old
one little
son.
Boy.
So what kind of thoughts are running through your head about how you're going to approach, you know, introducing your son into hunting?
Mama, I think I'm going to try to get him into archery as soon as possible, get him shooting a bow, you know,
right.
Something.
Right, right.
Because he already seems like he likes shooting the little toy I already bought him.
Okay.
And he's pretty good at it, really. Yeah. I think he's better than me.
That's funny. So, I mean, have you taken him fishing before? Does he like going fishing with you or camping or things like that?
I haven't taken him fishing yet, but I have taken him camping a handful of times.
Yeah, and he respond pretty well to that?
Yeah, he likes it.
Cool, cool. Well, man, I hope all that turns out for you, and I'd love to hear more about, you know, the progression of – I always want to know how people have gotten their children into hunting because, you know, my daughter is 5, and she's showing some interest, definitely in fishing – but in hunting as well. She wants to go out with me. And at the same time, my son, he's 3, and he, you know, he's to that age too where he points on the wall and he's like, "Daddy, big buck. Look at Daddy, big buck." And then I'll ask him, "Hey, which one do you want to shoot?" And I like this answer because he goes the big one. And I go, "Point to the big one." And he doesn't point to the big one with the biggest antlers. He points to the one with the biggest body. And that cracks me up because he's like, that one's got, it's real big, Dad. And I'm a sucker for a buck with a huge body. So
is that the one you had to have a special form order from the taxidermy?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. That's right. That's right. Had to fly the mount in from Canada, the form in from Canada.
I bet that was expensive.
Oh, well, he didn't charge me any extra for it. So that's
really
good. Yeah, that's good.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, man. Well, you'll have to keep me posted in how you know, you mentioned you're going to be taking your boy out this year with you. I'd love to hear how that goes. And Mr. Zach Hunt, I really appreciate you taking time to talk about your whitetail journey with us today on the podcast, man.
All right, man. Hey, thanks, Dan, for having me, man. I really appreciate it, and good luck this year.
And the outro of this podcast is being recorded in my backyard as well. I'm looking at fireflies in my garden again and the moon in the sky. It's a gorgeous night, but huge shout-out to Zach, Mr. Hunt, for hopping on the podcast today, man. Really appreciate you taking time to hop on and share your journey with us. Also, huge shout out to all of you, as usual. Thanks for downloading, listening. If you haven't already, please go to iTunes or wherever you download your podcasts. Leave a review. It's worth it for me to say that. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the content that's being put out. We have some more big things coming down the pipeline, like the vlog series here pretty soon. What else? What else? What else? Oh. All the partners of this podcast: Deer Lab, Lone Wolf, Ozonix, Wasp, Prime Archery. I'm missing two more. Ozonix, Prime, Wasp Archery. Exodus Trail Cameras, and who else? I'm missing one, but hopefully they forgive me that I can't remember. I usually have a piece of paper that I read off of, but. There's that. Be sure to check out the Nine Finger Chronicles and the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, social media pages, Instagram, and Facebook. Tons of great information and announcements coming out on those social media platforms. And by the way, all the other information that is being put out, like all the other podcasts that are on the Sportsman's Nation. I'm telling you, if you're just listening to the Nine Finger Chronicles, man, you're missing out because there is a ton of great information and stories that come out, not only about strategy, but just people that have a passion for the outdoors, and that's why I'm doing it. Also, today I started the process to make the Sportsman's Nation 2% for Conservation certified. I have a list of steps and checklist thing that I have to do to become certified. I started that process today. So hopefully in one of these upcoming podcasts, I can basically say to you, the Sportsman's Nation is now certified as 2% for conservation. And that would make me pretty proud. So that's coming up. I think that's about it, man. It's a gorgeous night. I don't know. I should do more podcasts outside because I feel Mother Nature's energy right now. It sounds kind of hippie-ish, but I'm like standing in the middle of these fireflies. There's some birds still kind of chirping, and the moon shining through the trees, and I can see lightning in the distance. Man, I gotta do more of these out here. I'll probably get electrocuted knowing all that. But thank you guys very much for tuning in to today's podcast, as always. And you know, it's that time of year where us whitetail hunters are getting antsy and we're starting to hop into the woods, and the air conditioner on my neighbor's just kicked on, so I gotta walk back over here to finish out this last sentence. But please, if you're gonna be in a tree hanging some tree stands to prepare for the season, for the love of God, people, wear your damn safety harness. Have a good rest of the week.